to be drafted where he was. And I know that there isn't that big a difference between being the second to last pick in the seventh round and the last pick, but it sure feels like it, right? That last step is a doozy. We actually give that person the title Mr. Irrelevant. And for him, for Mr. Irrelevant to step in and win MVP in his third year would be, well, it would literally be unprecedented. So I love the story, and I love how well the kid is playing, and I think he's excellent. I do think, however, that there is at least some of this that's...
ESPN Kansas City is KCTE Independence and K233DM Raytown, 1510 AM, 94.5 FM. Garrettson and Toth presents The Shift with Jack Johnson on ESPN Kansas City, 1510 AM and 94.5 FM.
We are back with another edition of The Shift on 94.5 FM and 1510 AM ESPN Kansas City. I am your host, Jack Johnson, alongside Jake Gutierrez. As we do every single Thursday, is we run the spread and pick all of the NFL games that are upcoming this weekend. We'll have some primetime music to play as a soft bet underneath, because it's a long segment. It'll be about a 25 to 30-minute segment as Jake and I will break down every single game, go over the spreads, go over the totals, and who we think is going to come out victorious or at least cover the spread, because that's the title of this segment and just running the spread. And I'll be quite honest with you, looking at all the games this weekend, rather underwhelming. I would say the Chiefs and the Bills game and the Eagles and the Cowboys are the big-time heavy-hitter matchups. But other than that, these are going to be a lot of tough games to pick. So, Jake, whenever you got the music ready to go here, we got it right now. We'll jump into game number one, and that is tonight on Amazon Prime at 7:15. The New England Patriots at 2-10 on the road against the Pittsburgh Steelers. The Steelers, a 5.5-point favorite, the total at 30. I believe it's going to be Mitch Trubisky at quarterback for Pittsburgh tonight. I haven't really heard much of an update on Kenny Pickett since Monday, I think it was, when Mike Tomlin said that, you know, he's got an ankle injury. So my guess is it's Trubisky. The good thing is about this is Trubisky and I think Kenny Pickett are very comparable. It's not like you're getting a polar opposite type of quarterback. I don't see that, and I really do feel like Pittsburgh is going to be the exact same team tonight. If I was to pick anything or put any money on this game, I'd probably go with the under here. These two teams just can't score the football. And we know New England absolutely can't even put points on the board. And that makes me feel comfortable that at least at home, Pittsburgh can get anywhere from 7 to 10 points here. Might be very similar to that Chargers-Patriots game last week, but I like Pittsburgh here. I think it's an easy cover for them because they're taking on the worst offense in the NFL.
Yeah, you talked about the total score there, and I don't know if you're aware. This is the lowest total in 30 years.
Doesn't shock me.
That's how bad. And we're not talking about like, oh, it's the 85 Bears, you know, against the 2000 Ravens. You know, it's not two awesome defenses going against each other. It's two crappy football teams. Lowest total since week 15 of the 93 season. And I believe it was a 2-11 Patriots versus a 1-12 Bengals. Mm-hmm. This number, 30 points, I don't know if they can get there. I'd stay away from that. I would probably, if I'm putting anything on this game, I'm probably taking Steelers -5.5.
Yeah.
So that would be my lean. We're betting against the spread or picking against the spread or just winners?
Yeah, we're just picking against the spread here. Okay. So don't need, you could say, you know.
And by the way, a caveat, like, you know, take these picks of mine with all concerns. This is not legal advice.
Yeah.
I'm not responsible for your bets.
Neither am I. I've been wrong many a times on these, and this just feels like one of those games where New England would find some way to cover because it's, you know, 3-0 or 6-3, yeah, something like that. It's going to be ugly tonight. I don't know how much I'm going to tune into this game because there's no reason to. This is a really bad matchup.
I'll turn it at the beginning and see how horrible it is and how fast I want to stick knitting needles in my eyes. But I think it's something like I don't know, I'm being generous, like 17-10 maybe.
Yeah, I mean, it also was weird last week how Seattle, who hadn't scored in 5 weeks, they erupt for 36 points or whatever it was against a really good Dallas defense, so you never know. I will say this last thing about Pittsburgh. They will have nobody to blame but themselves if they don't get into the postseason, because the last four games, concluding this one, they would have played Dorian Thompson-Robinson, Jake Browning, Kyler Murray and the Cardinals, and now Bailey Zappe and the Patriots. They will have absolutely nobody to blame but themselves. They've had an easy schedule. Still two games above 500, but they got to get back on track tonight against New England. The first game on Sunday will be the Tampa Bay Buccaneers on the road against the Atlanta Falcons, who are now 500 and in first place in the NFC South. Falcons, a one-point favorite in this true pick'em game. The total is at 40. Jake, I'll let you go first on this one.
Oh, boy. Putting me on the spot. God, what a mess the NFC South is.
Ugly.
But I guess Falcons coming off a win, playing at home. I mean, I just have so little faith in Baker Mayfield. I guess I'll go with the Falcons minus that point. That's my lean. It's in the South, you know, with the Saints, the Bucks, the Falcons, you can kind of count Carolina out. But those three teams, they're all equally mediocre. So, I'll go with the Falcons just coming off a win against the Jets, right? They beat the Jets last week.
Yeah, 13-8.
Yeah. So I think I would lean minus one on the Falcons. And if looking at that total, I'm probably going under on 40.5.
I don't know why the spread is so close in this one. I mean, clearly Vegas doesn't value Atlanta that much.
No, especially playing at home. I mean, it's basically, it used to be 3 points.
Yeah, 3 points automatically.
But now they've kind of scaled it back, and they say that number is like 2, 1.5, 2 now. So it almost like if it was on a neutral field, the Buccaneers would be favored. Maybe.
I just don't know what you could see in Tampa Bay at this point in the season. I mean, they beat Carolina, but it was only by 3. I'm not saying Atlanta's great, but I would have probably put it more so at 3-4 just because Atlanta has the home field here and they're number one in their own division. So I'm with you here. I think I'll take Atlanta minus the points here. I think this is another low-scoring game. It's just such a bad division, bad quarterback play, and Baker Mayfield actually may be one of the best quarterbacks in that division. That's telling you a lot. There's not much talent to go around in the NFC South. An NFC North matchup will kick off at noon on Fox. That's the 9-3 Lions on the road in Chicago, the Windy City, against the 4-8 Bears. The Lions only a 3.5-point favorite, the total at 43.5. It was weird for Detroit last week. It really was. They jumped out to a 21-0 lead on the Saints, and then the Saints just kind of slowly clawed back. And I think Detroit's looked a little weak over the last 3 games or so. Now, they barely beat Chicago in Detroit. They lost to Green Bay at home, and then nearly coughed up a 3-score lead against the Saints. You know, as for the Bears, they're not doing themselves any favors, you know, winning games this late. I know they're probably going to get the number one overall pick because of that Carolina trade, so it just really matters what Carolina is doing. It was the best-case scenario when they beat the Panthers 16-13 3 weeks ago, but I would still be trying my best to make sure that you are setting yourself up nicely for not just the first round, but rounds after that. The Bears at 4-8. Actually, I'm going to check the weather in this game. It looks like at Soldier Field, it's going to be low of 26 in this game, high of 35, so a little bit colder of a game in Chicago. I don't know if I can go with the Bears here, though. It wouldn't shock me if they pulled off an upset, but I kind of feel like Detroit got upset against the Packers at home. I think they get the double-digit wins, which would be just absurd to say at the beginning of the year. But the Lions are a team that's just far more physical, better quarterback play, better offense. Not sure Chicago and Justin Fields can keep up. I'll take the Lions to cover on the road. Jake?
Yeah, I'm with you. I think this is a pretty easy win for the Lions. I know the Bears are coming off a bye, but when you look across the board, the talent of the Lions is just overwhelmingly I mean, it's interesting that, because Detroit is sitting on a 3-game lead in the NFC North over Minnesota and Green Bay. So, give me the Lions over the Bears on the road.
The next one on the docket is Indianapolis and Cincinnati, a battle for that last spot in the AFC wild card picture. Kickoff will be at noon on CBS. The Bengals, a 1-point favorite in another pick'em game, the total at 44. We said this on Monday, heading into that Jags and Bengals matchup, that it was do or die for Cincinnati. If they lost that game, you could pretty much rule them out for the postseason. There'd be too much to overcome. Now you have a backup quarterback at this point. And I think you could just copy-paste that and put it to Sunday. Because Indianapolis is a team they're trying to catch. If they lose to the Colts, and the Colts move to 8-5, and the Bengals fall to 6-7 with still a matchup against Kansas City at Arrowhead Stadium, I don't know how they get in at 9-8. I really don't. And they still have to go on the road to Pittsburgh. They'll get Cleveland, who, regardless of quarterback play, they always seem to struggle against. I think the only benefit is they're at Paycor Stadium for this game. If it was at Lucas Oil, I'm probably taking the Colts by a touchdown. I just think it's more of a letdown game. I don't see Jake Browning having back-to-back really good performances, and this Colts offense can really light it up with Gardner Minshew, which is just weird to say. But I don't think Cincinnati's defense is going to be equipped to slow them down enough. And I don't think Jake Browning's in for another 30-plus point performance. I could probably see a more comparable game to what we saw against Pittsburgh the last time they were at home. So I'm going with the Colts in an upset over Cincinnati on the road. So I'll take them. Not really to cover the 1-point spread. It's just a pick 'em game. So I'll go with the Colts here. What say you, Jake?
Oh, man, I want to lean Bengals after their performance on what was that, Thursday Night Football?
Yes.
That was Monday.
Yeah, Monday.
Tonight's Thursday.
Yeah.
What day of the week is it? So in my mind, it's kind of...
Up next on the docket here, we've got Carolina and New Orleans. The Saints, a 5.5-point favorite. The total at 37.5. Kickoff at noon on Fox. You know, I was a big believer in New Orleans before the season because I thought their schedule matched up so well for them. I thought this was a great opportunity for Dennis Allen to prove a lot of people wrong. They could rack up a lot of wins in a bad division. But he absolutely has to be on the hot seat. This is a Saints team that is wildly underachieved. They had an easy path. I mean, the quarterbacks in their division, you had Desmond Ridder, you had Bryce Young, and then you had Baker Mayfield. Like, this was Derek Carr's chance to be the best quarterback in the division. Problem is, the Saints just struggled way, 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 way too many times early on in the season. Do they struggle against Carolina at home? Boy, if they were to lose this game, I think you have to fire Dennis Allen on the spot. You absolutely have to fire Dennis Allen on the spot. As crazy as it sounds, the Saints still have a decent chance of getting to the postseason because they can win their division. They're only a game back of the Atlanta Falcons. This should be a gimme. This should be really easy. Carolina is playing so uninspired right now. I just don't know. I don't know if I could see them hanging with New Orleans, although they did hang with Tampa Bay last week. Only lost by 3 points. I think the Saints should be just fine in the Superdome here. They're still playing for a postseason spot. I know Tampa Bay was, but New Orleans, this is your get-right game, hopefully. Bodes well for my prediction, so I'll take the Saints at home minus the points.
Oh man, Derek Carr still in concussion protocol for the second time this season. He was limited in practice yesterday. I mean, the Saints have been notoriously bad as favorites under Dennis Allen. I think they are 1-8-1 against the spread as favorites this season. That includes at home they are horrible. 2-6 as home favorites and 0-4 this season under Allen. With that knowledge, I think the Saints win this game, but I think it's just by a field goal. So I'll take Carolina plus the 5.5. But it is shocking just how bad the NFC South is. I mean, the Saints still 5-7 record, and they're only a game out. So I'll take the Panthers plus the points, but I think Saints win this game.
It's crazy to think that over the last decade or so, we've seen a lot of success from the NFC South. You think about it, Atlanta got to a Super Bowl, Carolina got to a Super Bowl, the Saints won a Super Bowl, Tampa Bay won a Super Bowl, but it's like now, this is not only the worst division in football, this may be the worst division we've ever seen in the NFL. It's so unwatchable, and the quarterback plays, I think, a big part of it. One game that I can't really wrap my mind around here, the Texans and C.J. Stroud are going into Jersey to take on the 4-8 Jets, who are now going to be starting Zach Wilson once again. However, the Texans are only a 3.5-point favorite, the total at 33. Tell me why this would be the case. How is this spread so close? I get it's in Jersey. I get you are playing the Jets on their home turf. But I don't know how the Jets are going to be a team that can pull this one out. I mean, I know they've had a couple of upset wins this season, especially coming in Jersey, the biggest maybe being when they knocked off the Bills back in week one on that walk-off punt. But I just go back to the point of what do you have to play for right now? Houston, they've got a division to play for. They've got a wild card spot to play for. The Jets are out of it. This is it. They're not getting in at 9-8. They could win out. They're still not getting in. And Zach Wilson is a bottom three quarterback in the NFL. They might have had a better chance with Tim Boyle, but not that much higher. Maybe you're saying the defense can keep this low scoring. I mean, the total indicates that at 33. But I'm going to roll with Houston here. I don't know how this game's going to be very close. I like the Texans. Maybe I should be wary about a rookie quarterback on the road. Could be bad weather. But I like Houston in this spot. I don't know how the Jets are going to score more than 14 points in this game.
Yeah, I mean, these lines are the ones that scare me. Like, what don't I know?
Exactly.
What is going on that I don't know that this game's only 3.5? I think I heavily fall on the side of Houston minus 3.5. I mean, maybe because the Jets still have a really good, really good defense. Robert Saleh's defense is really damn good. Houston lost Tank Dell with a broken fibula last week. So maybe you're looking at Stroud not having one of his best weapons and being a rookie on the road against a Robert Saleh-led defense. But still, I it's not enough for me to be so weary I don't lean Houston. I'm thinking the spread, 6, double this, 7?
Yeah, I would have put it about a touchdown.
Right. And so, you know, that's, you know, it's half of what I would think it is. But still, I mean, I think even with 6 points, 7 points, I still would take Houston. So I'll lay those points in a heartbeat on the road against the Jets if I was the Texans.
The next one we got here is going to be my upset pick of the week. The Rams on the road in Baltimore. There is something about this Rams team that I'm starting to buy a little bit more stock in. And if you've listened to the show long enough, you would know that I'm not the biggest believer in the Rams. Not since the Super Bowl. I think they're a team that got too banged up. Matt Stafford was declining at a very fast pace. But now all of a sudden, even though they've played some bad opponents, that offense has come to life. They put up 37 on the road against Arizona, and then against a very good Cleveland defense, they put up 36. Now, this is the toughest test that they're going to face maybe all season long. I mean, Baltimore has, if I'm not mistaken, the number one scoring defense in the NFL, and they're going to be playing at home. I think it's a very easy +7 for me for LA, but I'm going to go one step further with the Rams money line here. This just kind of feels like one of those games for Baltimore where you think, oh, 9-3, number one seed. It's a 7-point spread. Vegas is telling me enough, this is going to be a blowout. But they're coming off a bye, could see them a bit lackadaisical. And keep in mind here with Baltimore, next week they have to go on the road to Jacksonville. Who knows if Trevor Lawrence is back, and maybe we shouldn't worry about Jacksonville anymore because of what they showed against Jake Browning and the Bengals. After that, Christmas Day, on the road against San Francisco, Monday Night Football. So this could be a look-ahead spot for Baltimore. You're coming off the bye. You're a little bit flat. The Rams' offense is rolling. I'll stick my neck out there. I'm going to go Rams' money line on the road here to shake up the top spot in the AFC. What say you, Jake?
I'm not that bullish on the Rams. I'm thinking about that seven, though. I think the Rams cover that seven, but I think Baltimore still wins this matchup. I think if there's anything that I like on this game, I think it might be the over 40. The Ravens offense has taken a huge leap forward with their new offensive coordinator, Todd Monken. So I think if I'm betting, I'm taking Rams plus seven. I still think Baltimore wins this matchup, and I'm looking at the over on this game.
The next one we got here in a tough, I guess I should say, a low-scoring, gritty, grinded-out type of game, the Minnesota Vikings on the road against the Las Vegas Raiders. The Vikings, a three-point favorite here, the total at 40.5. And that tells you something, that the Vikings and Raiders total was 40.5, yet that game tonight between New England and Pittsburgh, I guess both with backup quarterbacks as well, the spread or the total is at 30, 10 points lower than tonight. But in this game, it's going to be the Vikings and the Raiders. It'll be Josh Dobbs going up against Aiden O'Connell. I might be off the Josh Dobbs train at this point. I may not be a big believer in Josh Dobbs anymore because of what I saw in that last game against Chicago. And that's just what maybe was always going to happen. I mean, Josh Dobbs, what he's done all season long has been nothing short of remarkable. Hasn't resulted in a ton of wins. But for a backup quarterback that wasn't even expected to make a roster this year, he's done enough. But against Chicago, the four really bad interceptions, a quarterback rating of 54.3. You know, that's one of those spots where I don't know if I can roll with you in the next week. However, you know, this Raiders team, they're so hit and miss with Aiden O'Connell. They really are. Now, they're coming off the loss to Kansas City and the loss to Miami, so they get a big drop in competition. They're not playing as high-flying of offenses, and I think that bodes well for their defense. I think the Vikings struggle here in this spot. The Raiders' defense can lock things down if the offense can get out to a semi-quick start. I could see this being 21-14, 17-10 in favor of Vegas. I like them at home here. I know the Vikings still have an outside chance to make the postseason, but time is running out, and that's because they no longer have a starting quarterback. So give me the Raiders plus three at home at Allegiant Stadium.
I'm on the opposite side of this. Vikings 5-0-1 against the spread in road games this season. Dobbs has been a great story for the Vikings. But the past 2 weeks, he's kind of come back down to reality. Five interceptions, three yeah. fumbles, and only two TD passes. Justin Jefferson is expected to play in this matchup. So the Raiders are a debacle because you saw how good they looked in the couple of opening drives against the Chiefs, and then and how they just fell apart in the second half of that game. So I'm going to take the Vikings on the road minus three. So I'd go which spreads like three. You know, anything less than three, you might as well just go money line on those games, for my opinion. So I'll take Minnesota and the money line on this game.
I will be excited to see Justin Jefferson back just simply for my fantasy team.
There you go.
It's been too long since he's been on the field. This is going to be a fun matchup, I think. Divisional matchup of the NFC West, the Seattle Seahawks, who looked really, really good against the Dallas Cowboys. At least I should say DK Metcalf looked really good in that game last Thursday. But they've got the buzzsaw. That is the San Francisco 49ers, who are 9-3, coming off that massacre of the 10-1 Philadelphia Eagles on their own turf. Niners a 10.5 point favorite, total 46.5. I would love to go back and tally it up. The Niners feel like they have been a double-digit favorite five or six times this year. It's been ridiculous. And I think this spread is about right here. Seattle is the epitome of inconsistency. At least I should say their offense is the epitome of inconsistency. It feels like it kind of comes in three-game spans. They hung 29 on Washington, then 16 against the Rams, and 13 against San Francisco. Then they put up 35 against Dallas. Feels like they are soon to let down once again. As for the 49ers and their four-game winning streak, not only does the defense look great, they haven't allowed more than 20 points in any of those games. They've scored more than 30 in three of those four games. 34 against Jacksonville, 27 against Tampa, 31 against Seattle on the road, and 42 against Philly. I'm hammering the Niners in the points here. They're at home. I would like to say divisional matchups can be close, but nobody's playing the Niners close right now in their winning streak. So give me the Niners minus 10.5.
Tough. Double digits in the NFL is insane. I mean, we just saw what San Francisco did to the Eagles. Fly all the way across country and do that on the East Coast. But this, obviously, a divisional rival. It's hard for me to lay 10.5, so I'm going to take Seahawks plus the points. I think the Niners win this game, but I think this matchup, the rivalry, Pete Carroll's a damn good head coach. Mm-hmm. He knows Shanahan, and so I think, especially after what I saw the Seahawks do against the Cowboys, I'm going to take I still think San Francisco wins this game, but 10.5 is just too many points for me.
It is a large, large spread in the NFL, and you know anything can happen on any given Sunday, to use the old cliche saying, and the line from the movie, which is great, by the way, with Al Pacino. The game that everybody cares about here in Kansas City, another true pick'em game, you could call it, 1.5 in favor of the Chiefs. They are hosting the 6-6 Buffalo Bills. Kickoff at 3:25 on CBS. I haven't seen the broadcasting crew yet. My guess is it's Nance and Romo. You got the big game at 3:25. It just feels like that's going to be the matchup. And I believe the Eagles and Cowboys, they're going to be on NBC, so that's going to be Sunday Night Football. Oh, boy. I mean, it's just become so difficult to pick Chiefs games this year because you don't know what version of them you're going to get. Usually in the Patrick Mahomes era, it would be an easy bet in this game. It'd be a given, right, that they're just going to go and blow out their next opponent. They don't lose back-to-back games, and especially not coming back to Arrowhead Stadium. But what reason do I have to believe this is a week they bring their A game? They snap out of it because Buffalo's there? Maybe I could rely on that. But Buffalo's had their number in the regular season. They've beaten the Chiefs at Arrowhead Stadium the last two times. I mean, is there any chance that the Chiefs' offense can break out a little bit in this game? I don't think Buffalo's defense is that good anymore. I think it is a very washed-up defense, and Josh Allen makes a lot of mistakes. But I've used this saying a lot in this segment of what do you have to play for? Of course, a lot is on the line for Kansas City. Right, they want to go back and grab that number one seed in the AFC. And if Denver, who will pick next year, goes on the road and beats the Chargers, things get a little interesting. There'll be a game back of Kansas City with four games to go. Like, there is still some shakeup to happen in the AFC. But Buffalo, they're not really playing for the division. They're playing just to get in. If they lose this game, like I said with Cincinnati, I feel like it's over at that point. I don't think they're getting in. So you're getting a desperate, and I mean a desperate, Bills team at Arrowhead Stadium. This may be one of the toughest games on your schedule all season long. I'd say, you know, that Philly game right up there. Of course, the game at Lambeau was incredibly difficult. And the Chiefs have had tough games, I would say, across the entire schedule. I mean, beating Miami and Germany was rather tough. Going on the road in Jacksonville, losing to Detroit was tough. Playing Detroit in week one was incredibly tough. Like, this to me, just because it's Buffalo and because it's a desperate Buffalo, man, that should alarm you if you're a Chiefs fan. I was wrong in picking the Chiefs over Philadelphia because of the numbers Andy Reid has coming off a bye, but I'll roll with Kansas City here. I feel like Josh Allen makes one too many mistakes. I do not see the Chiefs losing back-to-back games, which I do not think has happened in 2 years. So this is a good spot for the Chiefs. If they would have beaten the Packers, surprisingly, I think I would have taken Buffalo because the Chiefs would have been saying, oh, we're 9-3 now, top spot, might overlook Buffalo a little bit. They're not overlooking Buffalo in this game. They want to put the nail in the coffin on Buffalo's season. I think they do that on Sunday. What say you, Jake?
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you on that. I think when the Chiefs lost last weekend, on Sunday Night Football to the Packers, I think there was a collective sigh in Buffalo. That's the last thing they wanted to see. I mean, 3 out of 5, the Chiefs have lost 3 out of 5, which is, you know, in the Mahomes-Reed era, it's kind of unprecedented. But, you know, I think Mahomes said, he's been on a 6-4 team before, and that team ended up winning the Super Bowl. So I have all the faith in the world in Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes that they're going to get the ship righted. I think a point and a half is what it's down to now. Mm-hmm. I think I see a game that's close. I think it's going to go down to the wire, but I think it's something like 27-24 Chiefs. So I think they cover that spread, and I think they go over. But I think you're going to see a very motivated Patrick Mahomes, and that you effed with the wrong guy.
Yeah.
That guy's going to be out, you know. And so no amount of money in the world would get me to bet against that guy.
And, you know, it does feel like with this defense, boy, do they play amped up at home. I go back across the board at every single home game they've played this year. It's a totally different team. And the defense has still been decently good on the road, but they always have that saying, too, no, defenses don't travel well. I mean, really elite defenses, they travel well. I don't think the Chiefs' defense has really traveled that well, but when they're at home, it's the heart of hell for teams that come into Arrowhead Stadium. I mean, you go back to Detroit. They had 21 points. That's the most anybody scored on them at home this year. Against Chicago, 10 points. Against Denver, 8 points. When they played the Chargers, 17. When they played Philly, I mean, I know Philly got 21. 7 points in the first half, and it took a couple of miraculous plays late in the fourth quarter for Philly to win that football game. That's a tall task for Buffalo. Crowd's going to be probably as rabid as it's been all season long. I think the weather is going to be just fine. It's not like the Philly game where it was kind of a gross, muggy, rainy type of night. It seems like right here, high of 44 at 325. I'm assuming we'll get in the high 30s, and then it has a low of 27, which probably won't happen until the evening time. So good weather, I think, football weather, fall weather, I should say, against the Bills on Sunday. But Jake and I will go with the Chiefs. Up next, just a couple more games here before we hit our first break of the show. We have an AFC West matchup, the Broncos and the Chargers. The Chargers, a 3-point favorite. I don't know about you, Jake, but I'm done picking anything with the Chargers. There's no confidence I have in this team at all. I have no confidence in Brandon Staley. I think he's one of the worst coaches in the NFL. And Denver, man, I think that image of Russell Wilson throwing the pick at the end of the game against Houston, that's going to be the moment I think Broncos fans look back to, because they had everything set up for them inside the 10-yard line to go and win that game, steal that game from Houston, and jump to 7-5. Like, that just would have been the moment. But of course, Russell Wilson kind of looking like vintage Russell Wilson, escaped the pocket, heaved it up there. When I was watching the game, I'm like, somebody's got to be wide open. He doesn't make throws like that. And he just threw it right to a guy in the secondary for Houston. And now Denver, like a lot of teams this week, playing for their season. They lose this game in L.A. Difficult seeing them getting into the wild card spot in the AFC. But I have no confidence in the Chargers. 6 points against New England last week. Yeah, the defense looks great. I think it's going to be a tough test for Russell Wilson and the Broncos. But for the first time in a long time, I've got a lot more confidence in Denver than I do with the Chargers. I will take them +3 on the road in Hollywood.
Oh, this is an easy one for me. I think the Chargers are done, and I think that, you know, bodes well for the Chiefs. I want the Chargers to be just absolutely playing for nothing and just playing the string out, you know, when the Chiefs go on the road to play the Chargers. But, yeah, even though, you know, obviously an AFC West rivalry, I don't think that I'm surprised how low this game is. And, you know, 3 points for Denver, I'll lay those for the Chargers all day long. I mean, we saw that debacle of a 6-0 score in New England last week, and I think the Chargers are just, you know, Brandon Staley is a dead man walking. No, you know, not to be too dark on that, but I think
it's true.
Yeah, no. I think he's, you know, they're just waiting till the end of the season, and that's, you know, luckily for the Chiefs, you know, such a talent Justin Herbert is, and it's just being completely annihilated in that organization right now.
I really thought that Justin Herbert was going to be like the Dan Marino of this generation. Like, he'd win a lot, but he'd never get that Super Bowl. I can't even give him that comp anymore because he doesn't win in the regular season, and it's really not his fault. And he's been paired with some really awful coaches. One thing I will look out for in this game, I hope Austin Ekeler finishes the year as bad as possible so that once he becomes an unrestricted free agent this upcoming offseason, the Chiefs jump on that to make him the second running back. A one-year deal, hopefully rather cheap, but I think that'd be a good replacement for a Jerick McKinnon type, who we actually haven't seen much from, but he always seems to show up in the postseason. But to give a number two back coming off a bad year, maybe not something terrible to look into, but again, it's hard to imagine Austin Ekeler looking much worse than he has this year with the Chargers. The best game of the weekend, Sunday Night Football, a bitter, a blood-hatred rivalry between the Eagles and the Cowboys will take place in Arlington. The Cowboys, a 3.5-point favorite, the total 52. Jake, this Philly defense is exhausted. They have had a gauntlet to go through of late. They had Buffalo. They had Kansas City. They had San Francisco. Now they get Dallas on the road. I mean, this Dallas team, too. I know we all joke about the Super Bowl and stuff like that. I would have to be convinced right now why they're just fraudulent and they're not going to make it. I mean, they have beaten the hell out of everybody they've played after the bye week, except for Philly, who they lost 28-23 on the road. They beat the Rams by 23. They beat the Giants by 32. They beat Carolina by 23. They beat Washington by 35. And yes, it was a closer game against Seattle, but they've won 5 of 6. That one loss to Philly. And this offense looks completely different. Dak Prescott is an MVP candidate, and I think this Philly defense is just so tired. They're so beat up. They're so tired. And Vegas had them as an underdog in San Francisco last week for that main reason, that the defense was so exhausted. What happened? They gave up 42 points. This spread feels too low for me. It really I think that Dallas beats them down in this game. I really do. I could see somewhere between, 38-24, something like that. I think it'll be close early on, but nobody's stopping this Dallas offense right now. And Philly's offense, I think, just feels a little bit lethargic as well. Give me the Cowboys here. I love this spread. I'm probably going to regret it on Monday morning, but to me, this is easy money. I'm taking Dallas at home and the points.
Yeah, I mean, all conventional wisdom says exactly what you said, right?
Mm-hmm.
Philly's wounded. Philly barely escaped away with a win over Buffalo in overtime. Got pummeled, just absolutely beaten down at home against the 49ers. With all that said, this is when the Cowboys go Cowboys, right? For me, it's like until they can prove that they can win, like, because this is their chance. Like, this is their, all of a sudden, the AFC East is a close race. I mean, because it seemed like Philadelphia is just running away with it, and now all of a sudden it's a game. There's a game difference between these two teams. So and prove me wrong, and I'm probably going to be the one who walks in here on Monday and says, yeah, you were right, Jack. The Cowboys are the real deal. They're legit. I just can't bet against the NFC champions like that. I'm going to take all 3.5 points of, Philadelphia. I think this game's going to be close. I just can't pick Dallas to win this game until they actually go out and do it. So I'm taking the Eagles plus 3.5.
This is crazy to think, too. If Dallas wins, you have 2 10-3 teams in the NFC East, and San Francisco likely wins this week. So it'll be 3 10-3 teams, and Detroit may win. So you could have 4 10-3 teams. The Eagles, who at one point looked like a shoe-in to get the number one seed, hell, they could drop as low as 5 or 6 by the end of this. The NFC is far more loaded than the AFC, which I never thought I'd say in the Patrick Mahomes era, but it's looking that way this year. And lastly, these final two games before we take a quick break and wrap up the show, awful, awful Monday night games. You have the Titans on the road against Miami, the Dolphins, a 13.5-point favorite, the total 46.5, and the Packers are on the road against the Giants, and the Packers are a 6.5-point favorite. Real quickly, I'll get my thoughts on Miami and Titans. Miami beats up on bad football teams. It's what they do. They can't play really good football teams well. They beat the hell out of bad football teams. The Titans are exactly that. 13.5 is a lot, though, and it's primetime football. So I will go Dolphins by double digits, but by more than 2 touchdowns, probably not. I'll go Titans plus 13.5.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think the Dolphins win this game pretty handily, but I just think 13.5 is way too much in the NFL. So I'll, if you're giving me 13.5 points, I'm going to take the Titans, but I don't think the game's very close at all. I think Miami runs away with this one. You know, they win by 10.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly what I think. And lastly, the final game of this week, it'll be the Packers on the road in Jersey against the Giants. The Tommy DeVito led New York Giants against the Packers team that has new life. 6-6 and could run the table the rest of the way. Packers a 6.5 point favorite. I want to say this is a letdown game, and Tommy DeVito has brought some interest to the Giants, winning back-to-back games, 31 against Washington and beat New England 10-7. But I'm also not going to watch what Green Bay did to Kansas City, even if it's at Lambeau, and then just say, no, it doesn't matter, they're going to lose to the Giants. I think they could win by at least a touchdown against the Giants. This Packers defense seems a lot better, so give me Green Bay minus the points.
Yeah, Green Bay playing, you know, one of the hottest teams right now in the NFL. I'm going to take the Packers minus the points. I just think, you know, they're controlling their own destiny. And Jordan Love looked great against the Chiefs.
Boy, did he.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Pack attack.
Yeah, and last thing I'll say here, this is what the Green Bay Packers have the rest of the way. Tommy DeVito and the Giants, Baker and the Bucks, Bryce Young and the Panthers, Josh Dobbs and the Vikings, Justin Fields and the Bears. They could win every single one of those games and be an 11-6 team when it is all said and done. All right, we will take a first break of the show and a very quick break, and we wrap it up with some talk on Naquan Tomlin, who was dismissed from the Kansas State men's basketball team, and it is just chaos and outrage in Manhattan. We'll dive into that briefly next on ESPN Kansas City. We are wrapping up the shift on 94.5 FM and 1510 AM ESPN Kansas City. I am your host, Jack Johnson, alongside Jake Gutierrez. Wild news in college basketball, at least here locally yesterday, as Naquan Tomlin was dismissed from the Kansas State men's basketball program, and this has been a situation we have followed for about the last 2 months. If you can remember back to, what was it, October, Naquan Tomlin was arrested for an altercation outside of Tubby's, a bar in Aggieville, and this situation just always seemed very fishy. You know what? What really happened? Who was all involved? And that's something we never got. You know, and Jerome Tang kept saying, hey, we're treating this like a season-ending injury. And then you have reports of, well, Tang and Gene Taylor, the AD at K-State, they're ready to reinstate him, but the president at K-State was not. You had students protesting it, saying, you know, bring Naquan back. And we all know, I mean, Naquan Tomlin makes this Kansas State team incredibly, incredibly more talented. I mean, it's an NBA prospect. That would have been their number one NBA prospect on the team. Now, that's a guy that could go late first round, probably. I mean, a 6'10 guy that can handle the ball. Yeah, that would have been a tremendous re-addition, if that's even a word, back to K-State's team, but dismissed from the program. And it has gone nuclear in Manhattan, Kansas. I mean, people are very, very upset with the president, I think a little bit with Gene Taylor. Now the question becomes, you know, what's that relationship really like? I mean, I'm sure everybody's wondering, is there some severed ties now between Jerome Tang and K-State administration? I mean, this was going to be maybe their best player on the team, and now they had to dismiss him. And K-State won't have to wonder anymore if he's coming back or not. And this whole situation, I mean, until we see some official reports, I can't really comment on what really happened. We know there was an altercation. There's no video, at least that we know of or seen yet. But we do know Naquan Tomlin will never play another game for the University of Kansas State. He'll graduate in January and can technically transfer and play this year wherever he may choose to go to. But Naquan Tomlin will not be in Manhattan anymore. There is Ray Charles, so it's time to go. That wraps up another edition of The Shift on 94.5 FM and 1510 AM ESPN Kansas City. I've been your host, Jack Johnson, alongside Jake Gutierrez. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 10 AM. You take it easy, Kansas City. What you say?